says, Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Hallelujah. The last part of verse 19, it says, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. I preached a lot from verse 20, how God's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. But somebody say, there's more. That little phrase in this verse has caught my attention, and I pray it does yours tonight, that we be filled with all the fullness of God. I want to just talk to us about that tonight. There's more. There's more. Jesus, I know there's more. I know there's more. You have more for us. You have more for this church. You have more for men here tonight. You have more for ladies here tonight. You have more for young people, Lord. I believe that you are calling us to more. I believe you are leading us to more. I pray that you would stir a hunger in our hearts. I pray that you would move upon our lives here in this place. Lord, help us to reach for more. Help us to claim more. Help us to have faith for more. Help us not to be content where we're at, but Lord, let there be something that drives us forward as we seek more of you, more of your presence, more of your love, more of your power, more of your anointing, Lord, more of your calling in our life. Lord, I know that you've got something great for us. I pray that you'd help us to catch a little glimpse of it here tonight, Lord, and stretch beyond where we're at, Lord, to reach for what you have in store for this church. In Jesus' name, we give you the praise and all the worship right now. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, would you put your hands together as we're believing for more? Praise the Lord. I come against every lie of the enemy that says, you've already seen every miracle. You've already seen the great revival. You've already seen the work of God. I've come to tell somebody tonight, God's not finished. He's just getting started. There is more. Come on. There is more for this church. There is more for you. There is more for your family. There is more. Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Please be seated tonight. Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. We are complete in him. Everything we need, we find in Jesus. There's no need to look anywhere else. He is the source of all that we could ever desire. We are complete in him. How can that be? Because in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. When we understand who Jesus is, he is the mighty God in Christ. He is God manifested in flesh. When we understand we're not just talking to a part of the Godhead, he's not just one third of a Trinity. No, the only way we can be complete in him is if he is everything there is. And that's the case because all the fullness of the Godhead bodily is in him. Beside them, there is no other. When we pray, you don't have to pray for the Father and then pray to the Son and then pray to the Holy Ghost and hope you don't miss one of them and make them upset with you. No, we just pray to Jesus. Jesus is the Father. Jesus is the Son. Jesus is the Holy Ghost. And when we're full of His Spirit, we have absolutely everything we need. We are complete in Him. Hallelujah. Jesus is the answer. I don't care what we're going through. I don't care what your family's facing. I don't know how bad the need is, but let me tell you, if you can get a hold of Jesus, that's everything we need. We are complete in Him. Praise the Lord. A few years ago, I heard of this well-known Christian author who told the story of how he had been praying and desiring and asking the Lord for every gift that God had for him. And if God had something more for him, he did not want to miss it. Now that's a pretty good prayer to pray. He tells the story of how in prayer something began to happen that he had never experienced before, speaking in tongues. This was something new for him, as he had been raised in a church that did not believe in speaking in tongues. But now he'd experienced it. That should be something that every one of us pray. God, if you have something more for me, I don't want to miss it. Lord, open my understanding. If you've got something more for me, let it be revealed to my heart. Whatever you have for me, God, I want it. I don't want to miss it. I don't want to go through life and not experience everything that you have for my life. Praise the Lord. I'm excited to hear all the stories of people in this day and in this hour who begin to seek after the things of God in a brand new way. And I know God is going to begin to open up things to them in the Spirit and to reveal Himself to them. And I believe that they're going to be baptized in the name of Jesus. And they're going to see the necessity of receiving the Holy Ghost and speaking in other tongues. And I can't wait to hear about all that God takes to those new levels in this generation. But I don't want to just hear stories of how others go higher in God. And they get a revelation and they experience more of His Spirit. And then somehow we miss everything that God has for us. I want to experience more for myself. How about you? I want to see His glory. I want to see His power move. I want to feel His Spirit in a brand new way. I want to operate in a dimension of the Holy Ghost that I've never, ever, ever seen before. But God is giving us more. Hallelujah. God has plans for you. God has plans for me. He has plans for this church. He says in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." I have plans for you. They're good plans. They're not evil plans. They're plans to give you a future filled with hope. God has an expected end for us. He has intentional plans for us. He has plans for this church. Oh, come on. It'd be a great tragedy if we never received the fullness of what He has planned for us. How unfortunate would it be to miss out on His higher purpose and live beneath what He has designed for us. Somebody say tonight, there's more. Come on, there's more, there's more. I've got to see it. I've got to experience it. There's more. Many people never discover everything God intends for them. And they stop growing. They stop expecting. They stop believing. They learn to settle. They become satisfied with having just enough of the Spirit of God to kind of barely get by. In this world, we are always focused on what's newer, bigger, better. You know, everybody wants the new phone. think there's one coming out. I'm waiting for it because this one I've had for a long time and it's going slow. So I'm looking forward to the newer, better version. People like to get the next one, the next car. They're looking towards the next vacation, the next opportunity. But when it comes to the things of God, too many people live as though they've already reached the finish line, and there's nothing better, and there's nothing new, and there's nothing more. Yes, we've been born again. Thank God for salvation. I'm so glad Jesus saved my soul. But I want to tell you what, there's more. There's more. We go to church. It's good to see you in the house of the Lord here tonight. Thank God for a great church where we can experience His blessings. But there's more than just going to a church and sitting on a pew and hearing some preaching. Hey, we've been blessed. Oh, I tell you, we have been mightily blessed, and God has been so good to us. But I've come to tell somebody there's even more. There's even more. There are more blessings available. We've seen God move in some awesome ways, things that only He can do. But is anyone else's heart crying out here tonight? I believe that there's another move of God. I believe there's more. God's looking for somebody who's not satisfied with everything they've experienced so far. But I'm saying, I'm hungry, Lord. I can't settle. I can't give up. I can't quit. I've got to move. Don't give up on the dreams God has given you. Don't just relax and coast along on yesterday's blessings. Amen. Don't let yourself get comfortable. Don't settle for less. Jesus said in the last part of John 10 and 10, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. God plans more for us than just survival. Amen. Life more abundantly. Please hear me here tonight. If you're not experiencing that life more abundantly, don't settle for less. Don't settle for less. Jesus didn't come to just barely save us from hell and that's it. No, there's more. There's more. Make it a matter of prayer. Seek the Lord for it. God, you promised us life more abundantly. If you've got something more for me, Lord, help me receive it. Speak to my heart. I don't want to miss on any gift that you have for me. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And so the Apostle Paul, he prayed a bold prayer in our text. He wasn't praying for sinners to be saved. No, he was praying for born-again believers that were in the church there in Ephesus. He prayed that they would be filled with all the fullness of God. No matter how much we've experienced of God, there's more. And so we're stretching, we're reaching, we're praying for more. God has more for us. Paul prayed in Ephesians 3:18. He said that they'd be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length, depth and height. There's more. And to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge. He prayed that they'd know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge. It's beyond knowledge. He said, I want you to know the love of Jesus Christ. That's really, it's too great to know. But I want you to know it, but it's too great to know fully. Why is that? Because the love of God is inexhaustible. How many of you find out that as long as you've lived for the Lord, there's always more grace, there's always more mercy, amen, there's always more wisdom, there's always more favor, there's always more. Imagine standing on a beach, and you're standing there with a measuring cup, and you reach down and scoop up some water, and one cup, two cups, three cups, however big your measuring cup is. Looking at that measuring cup, do you have any idea how big the ocean is? Of course not. You just have part of the ocean in the cup. But the ocean has infinitely more than what's in your little measuring cup. Woo. That's how it is with God. Don't be content with just a little cup full. Don't be content with just a little touch. Don't be content with just one time praying in the Holy Ghost. Don't be content with just one healing somewhere long ago. Don't be content with just one revival sometime in the past where somebody was praying through and getting baptized. No, we can't measure the greatness of God. So why just be satisfied with the little? There's more. There's more. God is saying, come on, I'm ready for you to step in to the more that I've designed for you. I've prepared it for you. There needs to be a hunger. Would you reach for more? Hallelujah. So there's more to know of God. And then the last part of Ephesians 3:19 again, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. There's more that God wants to do in us. He doesn't want to just touch one area of our life and then leave the rest of us unchanged. To be filled with God is a great thing. Hear me tonight. To be filled with God is a great thing. To be filled with the fullness of God is even a greater thing. But to be filled with all the fullness of God, that's something so wonderful and so great that we can't even fully comprehend it. If you're here tonight and you're bound by sin, if you're a slave to sin, and no matter how hard you've tried, you can't get free, I want to tell you, God wants to bring you out of that. God wants to give you a new life. If you'll repent of your sins, if you'll turn away from your old life, if you'll devote yourself to God and say, Lord, my life is yours. It's not mine anymore. I'm not going to do those things, but Lord, I'm going to live for you. If you'll be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, he is going to fill you with his spirit, and you'll speak with tongues just like the church experienced in the Bible. But that's not the end. That's not all that God has for us. He wants us to be filled with all the fullness of God. He wants to heal your body. He wants to touch your mind. He wants to deliver you from everything you're struggling with. He wants to take away fear and anxiety and anger and jealousy and pride and rebellion. He wants to make you a living, walking testimony. So everywhere you go, people see the goodness of God on your life. And as you walk in his blessings and in his favor, I believe God wants to make you a witness to others that if he did it for you, he can do it for them. If he brought you out, he can bring them out. If he healed your body, he can heal somebody else. Praise the Lord. I believe that, now God's been good to us. God's been good to us. Some of you, you have been blessed. Most of us have probably been more blessed than our parents' generation was, because God has been good to us. And I believe that as we are faithful to put him first in our finances, I believe that there's going to increase more and more and more. God wants to increase our faith. Where our faith was a year or two ago, that's not enough to get where God wants to take us now. The miracles we've seen so far, they're just a start. God has more that he wants to do in us. Praise the Lord. Would you just, I wonder if you just lift your hands and just say, Lord, I want to see the more that you have for me. I want to see the more that you have for this church. I want to see the more that you have for my family. I want to see the more that you're wanting to do through me. Lord, I'm not content. I'm not satisfied. There's a hunger. There's a burning desire, Lord. Show us the more that you have for us. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Paul prays that they'd be filled with all the fullness of God, and then he reaches the climax of this chapter in Ephesians 3:20, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. There's more than we can even imagine. Go ahead and just start to daydream about all the things that God wants to do. Just let your imagination run wild. I want to tell you, there's more than we can even imagine. Unto him that is able, God is able. There is nothing too hard for the Lord. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all. Exceeding. That's over. That's beyond. That's more than. That's very much more. Abundantly. That's greatly. Extraordinarily. That's more than can be measured. Above. That's very highly. That's the chiefest. That's the ultimate. And Paul takes all of these words and puts them together. All of these words that talk about more than anything else. And he puts them all together because he's trying to communicate the enormous vastness of God's ability. There's not just enough words in the human language to do it, because it's more than we can imagine. It's more than your wildest dreams. It's more than your greatest prayers. It's more than your largest need. God is able, and God wants to do it. Hallelujah. Look at every story in the Bible. God always exceeded their wildest dreams. Abraham asked for a son. God made him the father of many nations. His children are as the stars of heaven and the sand on the seashore. Joseph dreamed of leading his family, but God gave him influence over an entire kingdom and made him ruler of Egypt. David, he just desired to have a deep relationship with God. He said in Psalm 27:4, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. But God did so much more. He established an everlasting kingdom through David's descendants. Solomon asked for wisdom, but God added wealth and honor. I know that God's been good. I know that God's brought us a long way. I know he's done more for us than what we've ever dreamed of. But I've come to tell you, there's even more. There's even more. It's more than we can even imagine. It's more than we can comprehend. It's more than we could even pray about. Hallelujah. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. There's power working in us. Oh, not me. You know, maybe pastor. Maybe brother so-and-so, you know, he's used of God. Maybe, you know, sister so-and-so, she really has a prayer life. No, there's power working in us. The world is fascinated with power. We measure horsepower in cars, megawatts in power plants, explosive power in weapons, political power of governments, military power in nations. Artificial intelligence is measured by computing. But none of those compare to the power that Paul says is already working inside every one of us. The greatest force of power in this world today is not nuclear power. It's the power of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God's power creates, it restores, it heals, it forgives, it conquers death, it gives eternal life. This power is greater than the power of hell. Jesus said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. How is that possible? It's the power that we have inside us. Jesus said in Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. The greatest power that lives, the greatest power there is, it lives on the inside of us, and it makes more than what we can even imagine possible. Praise the Lord. When you think about the power that spoke the universe into existence. Scientists today are just trying to figure that out. They don't even know what happened. It was a big bang is all they knew. That's the power that's inside us. The same power that parted the Red Sea. That's the power we're talking about. The same power that caused Jericho to fall. That shut the mouth of lions. It was the power that raised Lazarus from the dead. The same power that rolled the stone away from the tomb. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead. The same power that filled the upper room on the day of Pentecost. That's the power inside you and me. We don't need a new source of power. We just need a revelation of the power we already have working inside of us. Lord, I pray that you would reveal it to us. I pray that you would help us to start to operate in it. I pray, Lord, that you would let the Holy Ghost, let it be more than just goosebumps that we feel when we come to church and they sing a song we like. Let it be more than just something I can check off. Well, I've got the Holy Ghost. What are you going to do with it? How are you going to move in the Holy Ghost? How are you led of the Holy Ghost? It's the power of God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. This last week, I know that God has been dealing with my heart. There's something changing. There's something shifting in the atmosphere. There's a new work that God is doing. There's an open door. There's something that's happening. And God is saying, I'm looking for somebody who'll be led of the Holy Ghost. And you're going to start to operate in faith. You're going to start to step out in faith to do things you've never done before, to speak to people you've never spoken to pray prayers you've never prayed before. Some of you, your faith is about to explode because you're going to start praying some things that you never even imagined, and you're going to see it happen before your very eyes. But somebody's got to take hold of this and say, I've got to have more. I've got to have more. I'm desperate for more. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Come on. The Holy Ghost is the power to do God's work in this world. The Holy Ghost is the power to do what Jesus would do if he were here. Oh, Pastor, you're getting a little crazy now. What would Jesus do? What would Jesus do if somebody was sick? If somebody was bound, if somebody needed hope, if somebody was lost, what would Jesus do? That's what we have the Holy Ghost for, to do what he would do. Woo. Jesus, give us a boldness to operate in the Holy Ghost, that everywhere we go, we would do what you would do if you were there. Give us the faith, Lord. Give us the boldness we need, Lord, that in every situation we find ourselves in, we would say, okay, what would Jesus do if he were here? Well, that's what I'm going to do, because I've got the same power. It's the power of his Spirit inside of me, and I'm going to flow in it because I want to see more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen, amen. I'm closing tonight. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 1, Paul writes, he says, moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea and did all eat the same spiritual meat and did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. The next verse says that these things they were given as examples to us. So they went through the Red Sea. God led them with a cloud during the day and a pillar of fire at night. They were fed with manna and quail from heaven. He gave them water to drink from a rock. But with many of them, God was not well pleased. They all experienced that. But it says many of them were overthrown in the wilderness. They all experienced these supernatural miracles, but they died in the wilderness. They didn't make it to the promised land. It wasn't because God's power ran out. No, it's because they stopped believing for more. God had promised them vineyards, houses, a land that flowed with milk and honey. God promised them an inheritance, but they settled and they wandered in the wilderness until they were overthrown and struck down. How many Christians today are content to just kind of wander spiritually? They've come out of the world. Jesus has delivered them. They've repented of their sins. They've been baptized. They've received the gift of the Holy Ghost. They come to church. They give. But they're missing the more that God has for them. And in the example of the children of Israel just kind of wandering through the wilderness, there's a lot of Christians today that they're living for God, but they're just kind of wandering without a purpose. They don't know the plan of God for their life. They really don't know their calling, their purpose, their ministry. We'll let the pastor do that. We'll let the young ministers do that. We'll let the young people get all of that. We're just going to kind of live our life. It's a good life living for the Lord. But they're missing life more abundantly. The limitation is never God's power. There's always more than enough. But the challenge is if are we going to believe? Are we going to surrender? Are we going to walk in the power that He's placed within us? Oh, Pastor, I don't have a preaching license, so I don't know that I could be used. Come on. Oh, Pastor, I don't have a position, so I just don't know if I can pray with somebody to have their healing. And, oh, Pastor, I haven't been nominated as the outreach director, so, you know, I don't know. Until then, I don't know if I can pass out a church card and tell somebody about the church. Come on. You are called by God. You have been empowered by God. Now, what are we going to do with this power? Would you stand with me here tonight? James, he tells us, draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. How do we draw near to God? How do we draw near to God? Through prayer, through seeking Him, through separating ourselves from the things of the world, through faithfulness. I believe that every step we make toward Him, it only shows us that there's even more. The closer you get to God, the more you love Him, and the more you love Him, you're like, I got to get even closer. And it just keeps on going, keeps on building. And the enemy has convinced too many people that where you're at right now, that's all there is. I I don't care who you are. I don't care how young or how old you are. Nobody, we don't have any old people. We're all young, right? But sometimes the enemy will start to say, well, no, you need to let everybody else operate. I want to tell you what, you may not have the physical strength you once had, but we need your prayers. Hallelujah. And I want to thank some of our elders when you see a young person around this altar praying and there's young people coming, they're struggling, and oh, I want to tell you, when an elder can come and start to pray with them and say, come on, you can make it. We're going to get through this together. Hallelujah, hallelujah. There is still a work for you to do. If you're breathing, if you still have the breath of life in you, I believe that God has a purpose, a calling. He has empowered you. And I want you to pray and say, Lord, I know there's more for me because I'm still here. And Lord, I don't want to miss what you've got for me. I don't want to miss the calling and the purpose you have for me. Oh, I believe there's more. There's more victory. There's more anointing. There's more power. There's more miracles. There's more of God's presence. God's not done with this yet. He's got more for us to do. If we've grown comfortable, if we have settled somewhere along the way, if we've stopped expecting more, God's calling us beyond where we've been. Yes, we need to repent of our sins. We need to be baptized. We need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. But don't stop there. God has empowered us to be His people in this world, and everywhere we look, there's people who need His power. That's why we're here. It's time that we step into the more that God has for us with faith, with boldness, to surrender to the plan that God has for us and to put our faith to work, because God is still able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Praise the Lord. Anybody raise your hand and say, God, I want more. I want more. I'm not satisfied, Lord. I want to see another miracle. I want to see another person receive the Holy Ghost. I want to experience another revival. Maybe some of you have never had the experience of a mighty revival that went for weeks and weeks. Would you just kind of with me say, I want to see that happen. I want to see 100 soul revival where over 100 people receive the gift of the Holy Ghost and are baptized in Jesus' name. I want to see this church so full that we have to go to two services just to try to fit everybody in, and there's more coming on the way. Come on, I want to see our kids' ministry so blessed through Vacation Bible School that all of a sudden we have to add new Sunday school rooms, and we've got to get more teachers, and we've got to respond, because I want to tell you what, there's more. Hallelujah. Come on, young people. I want to tell you, there's more for our youth group. There's more for our youth ministry. There's more young people that are hungry for this. There's more young people that want something real. They want to experience the power of God. But somebody's got to get a burden. Somebody's got to pray some prayers. Somebody's got to reach and stretch. There's more. There's more. Come on, there's more. Would you come to this altar and just be that person that's going to stand in the gap and say, I know there's more. I know there's more. God, we've got to see it. We've got to experience it. Lord, I'm not satisfied. I'm not going to stay comfortable, Lord.